Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
BT the Sal back on the Fan. Time to hit you with the king topic of the day, where it's been a lot of Jets. Started the show talking about the Jets and just really recapping the last 2.5 years. Like, how are we at this point? After the Jets went out there and traded for Rodgers and the excitement level that was there, then the injury, and you know where we're at now, basically a game to go. It seems like it's going to be the end of the Aaron Rodgers era with the Jets. We've also talked about the Giants and how their costly win might prevent them from getting better in the near future as far as having a top pick. But BT, the king of the offseason so far has been, you know, obviously the baseball talk with the Mets and the Yankees, and there's still no home for Pete Alonso. Since we last left, I feel like every first baseman has come off the board. Yankees get Paul Goldschmidt. He'll be introduced today at 1 o'clock, so we can get into the Yankees side of things in a little bit. But no deal yet for Pete Alonso. Mets offered him 3 years, $90 million. He turned that down. I don't know where Pete thinks he's going to get his money, but I'm starting to get the feeling the longer this goes, the less either side wants the marriage to continue between Alonso and the Mets.
Well, I think the way you frame it is interesting because the options are dwindling. And by the way, I'm still pissed that the Yankees didn't sign Walker for that amount of money. That is just ridiculous.
Did we even talk after that or no?
I texted you guys. I was driving up to Providence that day, that Friday.
Oh, that was a Friday. And C-Mac was in. Oh,
and
right.
I'm like, he got what? That's the amount?
Right.
Come on. Anyway.
I think you get 3 for $60, $20 million a year?
Yeah. As you analyze Alonso's possible or, in the minds of some, eventual return to the Mets, you got to look at what else is out there. And obviously, Walker's not there. Goldschmidt's not there. You could do Bregman at third base, Vientos to first. You could
Naylor
do,
got traded.
Naylor's
Santana
dealt.
Off the board.
Yeah, the options are certainly dwindling. Santander, there's a thought that maybe he can move to first base, but I don't like that. I don't even love him as I just don't love his profile. A ton of strikeouts, best season ever, going into free agency. I don't want the Yankees to get him. I don't want the Mets to get him. I think what I've always thought about the Mets and Pete Alonso is they don't love Pete. They don't need Pete. They like Pete, and they'll take Pete if it's at the right price, and I think it's going to be the right price. I still think it's going to be a Met.
Okay, but here's my question to that, because I don't even love Pete necessarily, although in this scenario, I do like Pete a lot more because they brought in Soto. So where we didn't love Pete is where Pete was the guy.
Yep.
Nimmo, Pete, McNeil. No. That's now changed. Lindor, Vientos, Soto. So the other guys you could live with. Nimmo as well. But I do think they need Pete back. So now I will ask you this with all these other options off the board. If not Pete, then who? Who the hell are the Mets?
Bregman. Vientos over to first.
I don't know if I love that idea for the Mets. I like Bregman more for the Yankees.
Why, though?
Because I don't think he's that impact bat that Pete can be. The Mets need a power guy that's going to clean up the bases.
Well, then you better sign Pete because there's no more power than Pete.
So that's my point.
He's the preeminent power guy out there.
Forget about the players or the value or the cost. If I'm just looking at the sheer lineup, who the Mets can put behind Soto, Pete versus Bregman, who do you think is a better fit? Like, I know you think Bregman's a better all-around player.
I think Bregman, complicated. Bregman makes you a better team. Pete is probably better protection.
Okay,
I guess.
All right, and even so that's my point. Like, I don't want to commit the money to Bregman. I think I do want to get to the Yankee side of things because I think it's a fascinating offseason. But I like Bregman for them because they don't need that impact back.
Says who?
Well, they have a different team.
I understand that.
They have Judge. They have Stanton. I mean, whether you love Stanton or not.
He's not playing every day.
Yeah, I get it. But they have other bats there.
Well, name them.
We've gone over this before.
I think you're overstating the bats that they... I think I love their offseason. And again, we could get into them later. But it's like the Yankees have three, sticks who are getting ready to mash 35 bombs and have an OPS of 890.
Here's the thing.
Where are they?
Here's the thing with the Yankees. They were never going to get better
offensively with an impact bat once they lost Soto. So where they would get better, obviously they built the pitching out a little bit, but better defensively, better pieces that fit, mm-hmm. and they get deeper. Like Goldschmidt certainly passed his prime. Okay, but he should be better, you think, better than Rizzo. To me, for the Yankees to have a perfect offseason. Now, you know I've been hard on the Yankees and grading them and saying, oh, you lose Soto, Fried, whatever, I like it. Williams, okay, but you lose Clay Holmes, who was very good. Goldschmidt and then Bregman to compliment him.
Yep.
Not Arenado, Bregman.
Okay.
I think the Yankees will have a perfect offseason if you get Bregman, who will field the position very well and be a solid bat. I think the Mets need more of a bat in their lineup to protect Soto because I think they're thin outside of Lindor, Soto, and then, of course, you go Vientos, but Vientos going into year two, mm-hmm. so who knows? Nimmo's been an inconsistent light stick anyway.
Yeah.
The Mets need, like, Bregman is on the decline, the ballpark, all those things. I just think he fits better for the Yankees than the Mets.
I probably agree with that, but if it's 3 years 90, which is the last number.
For Bregman?
No, for Pete. Yeah. Last we heard, right, from yeah. the Mets' perspective?
30 AAV, 30 a year AAV.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's healthy.
Very good.
That's very healthy. Now, I know he's thinking, you know, more 5-6 years, which he's not getting, but if the Mets need the power bat the way we know that they do, then how far do you think they're willing to budge all 3 years at $90 million?
They've got to go one. I think they've got to go one more year.
I agree.
Let's say they go 4 for $125 million.
Yeah, bump it up to about 32.5 and then kind of, yeah, yeah. An extra year and a couple extra mil.
You want to go 5 for $150 million?
You're not going to do 5.
No, or 140. I'm saying you take down the AAV at that point.
I'd still rather get rid of him in 4 because he's going to be slower. And I don't want him for 5.
Okay.
I don't really want him for 4, but
two things are happening here. Pete and Boris still think that they're worth 175 to 200.
Yeah, and they could come back down to planet Earth anytime they want.
Well, okay, and then the Mets are saying, well, look, we offered you 160. You said no.
Mm-hmm.
Now we'll give you the higher AAV, shorter-term deal. You could be a free agent again in 3 years, go make more money.
Yep.
We'll give you $30 million a year. He's not worth $30 million a year, but we'll give you $30 million a year for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And he says no. So what do you want? So I think there's got to be maybe one more in the middle.
What's Soto at, 46? Is that sound right, huh? 46? What is he at?
Actually,
the first year is a little different. So
yeah.
I would say just short of 50. What about this? I don't think Pete would do this, and I don't even know if the Mets would. But how about a compromise of, hey, listen, we're in a little bit of a transitional stage. We love you, and you can tell them that. You know, we really want you back. 1 year, 50 mil.
No, no way.
1 year, 45 mil. Like, whatever the number is, it's got to be. It's not 1 year, 30. It's 1 year you get the power bat behind
Soto. No, and then you also, here's why I would never do that.
But you also get the prospects a year to develop, and you guys have a lot of them.
Yeah, here's why I would never do that.
Why?
Because Pete has proven to not be good under pressure. Meaning,
that's an interesting way to look at it.
And not only that, like I'm not paying him double of what he's worth just for 1 year. I'd rather give him
$40 million. Like I think I was a little aggressive with the 50, but you know what I mean.
But I think
something to get him like, oh, interesting.
I think 3 years, 90 is. I mean, you're now giving him a 90. All right, here's what I would do. I can't say what they're going to do. I would give him another year on top of their 3 year, $90 million. So just give him 120 before.
Yep.
Or 125 for four, however you want to do that.
Yeah.
I'm not going much beyond that.
I'm not going to scream over that. I'm not going to go. If that happened, and you know that
if he says no, if they offered him that and he said no, then I tell him to go
take
walk.
A hike.
Yeah, that's it.
Like, you know where I stand on Pete. I think everybody does at this point. If he agreed to it's 30 per 3 at 90. If it was 4 years, like 123, 124. I'm not going to get on the air and rant and rave. I'll be like, it's not amazing, but it's okay.
Right,
it's
but,
fine.
But here's the problem, right? Where I say, okay, we'll only give you this and then go walk. And I feel like everybody's thinking the Mets are in the prime position because Pete doesn't have a landing spot,
mm-hmm.
which I do believe to be true.
Yeah, you start to hear Mets, the Angels maybe, but maybe that's Boris trying to, you know how it goes.
But the Mets don't have, like, give me the alternative. You said Bregman. I don't think that that's good enough. Vladimir, yes. Is he going to be available? Vlad Jr., I'm talking about? I don't think he's going to be available via trade. Is there a trade that I don't know about? Very possibly. We don't know about it. But that's the type of stuff that they need. None of the Santander, get the hell out of here. No way. None of the other options.
That's why you guys should have signed Bellinger or traded for Bellinger.
I still think Pete's the better option because he is a proven commodity in New York, in the postseason, and with power. That's it. And that's all that I want. My point is the Mets better come up. They're playing a dangerous game of chicken.
And I know.
I think so much so that they already ticked Pete off. Now, this is more on Pete, but if Pete were to get, let's just say the Cubs or Giants or Angels
mm-hmm.
offer him 3 years, $90 million, I think if all things are equal, he's gone.
Oh, I've said that for a while. I think there's a chance that he is so dissatisfied with, listen, we could sit here and talk about his weaknesses, and we all know what they are. But usually the individual has a rougher time identifying their own weaknesses, whether it's me, whether it's you, that's life. So he's probably sitting there, even though he's a humble guy, sitting there saying, geez, I mean, all I do is mash 40 bombs every year since I came up. I'm one of the preeminent power guys in the game. I'm still relatively young. What the hell? I've been the face of the Mets basically for more than half a decade. Why you guys treat me with no respect? So I could see in his mind why there's some loose feelings toward the Mets. And to your point, again, which is what I was saying before we went on the break, if somebody comes either with a comparable offer or the same offer, he might just say, you know what? Screw you.
Yeah.
You didn't show me enough love. I'm out.
Yeah.
Go to a state. Hey, and by the way, Sal, let's say it's 3 years, 90 mil Rangers. Guess what? With the tax difference, it's not 3 years, 90 like it is here. It's better.
Yeah, and now the one thing that would do is give the Mets the break as far as the fan backlash, because if Pete leaves for the same offer, then I think fans would have no choice but to be mad at Pete. No? I mean, the Mets have not. While I continue to say the Mets are playing a dangerous game of chicken, the Mets have not handled this the wrong way. They have done this the right way.
I do agree with that so far.
They offered him the 160. He turned it down, which was a mistake. They offered him 3 years, $90 million, which to me is a pretty good offer, although I will say
that's light. That's low. Well, 3 years is a little disrespectful. Where's
the other? It is.
For your own guy.
But where's the other offer?
No, well, and you got to read the market. You can't be an idiot, so I get it.
So that's the point, but that's where you get dangerous, where they're going just based off the market.
Yeah.
Now you're going to get some hurt feelings in there.
Well, because the thing that you really can't quantify is the homegrown nature of the relationship, and because they're just being cutthroat from a business perspective by just reading the market, that's where I think he might be a little disillusioned at this point, and certainly dissatisfied at both.
He's already got egg on his face, so he's going to probably wait this out.
Yeah, well, I said to you guys in the meeting, I said, listen, if I'm really a little pissed at the Mets here, I'll go to the Phillies for 1 year in that bandbox, and I'll crank 50 bombs, and I'll be a free agent again. I don't know. But the other thing, too, I don't know if I agree. Let's probe a little more deeply how the Met fan would feel if he goes somewhere else for the same offer. Mm-hmm. Let's say it is 3 years, 90 with the Rangers. I'm just throwing that out there. I think the Met fan would actually still be very disappointed and angry because it's only 3 years. If it was a number and a length that they couldn't rationally justify, I think Met fans are pragmatic enough with Pete, all right, to sit through the emotion of what he means to them to say,
Met should have done more.
Not the right deal. You know what? Okay, we got Soto, not the right deal. But if it's only 3 years, I think Met fans are going to be pissed.
Yeah, but if he left for the same amount, that shows he doesn't want to be a Met.
Yeah, but then I think the Met fan could say, maybe I'm wrong.
Met fans are going to be pissed if he doesn't come back.
Especially if it's for a similar value. If it's 3 years 90 with the Angels or the Rangers and the Mets already offered him 3 years 90, you don't think the Met fan's going to call us up and say, guys, you couldn't throw in one more year? You couldn't go 3 years, $35 million a year? I think you'll get that because then you'll hear, well, Cohen's made of money. Give an extra $15, $20 million in totality. Spread it over 3 years. He's a Met.
I wonder if the Mets are aware that even with the addition of Soto, that there's going to be an issue if they don't bring back Pete. Even yesterday, I'm at a New Year's party with my neighbors. Some woman, nice woman.
Yeah, the only guy who goes to a New Year's Day party.
And they invited her. What do you want me to tell you?
I'm up till 3 in the morning, New Year's Eve. I'm sleeping at 10 in the morning on New Year's Day. This guy goes to a New Year's Day party.
I was in bed.
Who the hell does that?
New Year's Eve, 10:30, I was in bed. The neighbors invited us over. I'm like, all right, well, we can't be rude. We go over there. And then, of course, we're talking Mets. And this woman said, oh, are we getting Pete back? We're getting Pete. I'm like, Soto.
They get sucked into talking shop.
It was actually fine. It was fine.
I got you.
Point is, and even me, you know me, I don't love Pete. They need him back. It's got to complete the offseason.
I had a question for you, though.
Yeah.
Was this the first time you went to their home? Because I've been trying to encourage Sal. Sal, listen, I've got two kids. I've been married a little longer. I've been a father for a couple of years longer. Yeah. Again, you're in a new neighborhood. You're going to have to do stuff you don't want to do.
I know.
I've been telling them off the air, on the air, too. But, Sal, you got to go. Your wife's got to be happy, all that stuff. I got to tell you, that's a little brazen, in my opinion. I'm going to have your back here.
By them?
On the part of the neighbor to invite you on New Year's Day.
Well, I mean,
some other innocuous Friday night in February. And New Year's Day. Hanging out with somebody I don't know on New Year's Day. What the hell am I hanging out with you for?
But it's the neighbors. What do you mean you don't know?
Yeah.
What are you supposed to do? I mean,
A little presumptuous.
Tacky. I mean, it was actually nice, honestly. They had all the college football games on. I was like, all right, I wasn't doing anything anyway. So had a few surf sides, and we were good to go. Hoff, you had a question about Alonzo you wanted to get in there?
Well, just a couple things that I was curious about because, you know, first of all, Christian Walker's going to be 34 this year, right? So his contract's going to 36. Pete Alonzo's 30. Mm-hmm. We're talking about a four-year age gap here. To give him a six-year deal, it's going to take him to, you know, 36. I mean, we're still talking about guys that are, quote-unquote, in their prime at 36 years old. I don't see why the Mets sentimentally, and I think we might have talked about this last week, sentimentally, this guy's going to break the record for most home runs as a New York Met. Why wouldn't
don't
you
care.
Just...
Well, yeah, that means more. And by the way, Hoff, I respect that. That means, admittedly, I'm going to let you finish. That means a lot more to Hoff than it does to Sal. And generally, I'm more with the Hoff mindset on this, but go ahead.
But here's the thing is, Steve Cohen, ask him. He just retired Keith Hernandez's number, Dal Strawberry, Doc Gooden. David Wright's number's getting retired. There's clearly a history thing that they're trying to build here.
Yes.
They offered him $160 million a couple years ago for 5-6 years, whatever it was.
I get it, and he failed, but I'm saying...
Well, Pete said no. What do you want him to do? And then the markets crashed, like... His market... The Mets can't just go, hey, we love you, Pete, let's give you $200 million, and nobody else...
You bet on yourself, you lose.
Listen,
if they really wanted him, they would sign for $200 million. You want to know why?
But no one's even going to give him $130 million. Why would you give him $70 million?
But why does it make a difference, though? The guy hasn't earned. Well, you're not going to get this revenue back when he starts hitting home runs
because you don't break a record. I get it to an extent. I know what you're saying, Hop. I truly do. But Cohen, like, $70 million, big damn deal, spread over X amount of years, he'll make it back. Maybe well, whatever. But you don't become worth $20 billion by just flushing, and I don't know that it would be a full flush, it might not be, but theoretically flushing $70 million down the table, or down the chute.
You can't do it.
That's not how you make money. You don't accrue wealth that way.
How about a World Series? Does a World Series help?
But you don't know that you're going
to
get there.
Do you trust Stearns to build out the best team possible?
I do, which is why I think that's why I think Alonzo's not coming back because I don't think Stearns likes him.
Well, and there's a reason for that. I don't think that Stearns doesn't like Alonzo. I just don't think he likes him at 150 for 6 years.
I've got one request here. Can Hoff be in charge of our contracts when we're up?
Yeah, really? Just pay him.
Honestly, forget about Hurley and Chris. You go down, you do the contracts. We'll be in better shape with you.
Last one for you, Hoff, because I would be curious.
9 weeks vacation, couple of mil like the old days.
Couple
like
trips.
Mike and Chris, couple trips.
You're a big Alonzo guy, Hoff. Yes. Obviously, you want him back. If he left for, say, Texas for the same amount for three for 90.
He'd be a Ranger fan like he did with the Sharks when his boy left.
What would you do? Would you be upset?
First of all, I don't think that he's leaving for the same contract. I think he'll leave for a couple bucks more.
All right, but if you left for the same, who would you be mad at, the Mets or Pete?
Good question.
I'd be mad at the Mets.
Because they didn't give him another year.
Yeah, there's no reason why they
can't
just...
That's what I just said before. Yeah, I think that would be the prevailing thought by most Met fans.
I think Met fans in general are going to be mad if they don't get Pete. Unless there's an alternative, and Bregman isn't it. Not for me.
Mm-hmm.
He's just not that... He's not that presence in the lineup. He's good. Again, if the Yankees get him, I think the Yankees have had a great offseason. All things considered, losing Juan Soto, if the Yankees can get Bregman, and I think they can, BT. I don't care about these
kids. If they pay him, they can. They definitely can.
Right, but that... See, to me, without Bregman, I think their offseason is solid, but it's incomplete. They need to complete the puzzle. Get Bregman. Now you've got the corners shored up. Good defense. You brought in the better pitching. You've lengthened out the lineup. You brought in Bellinger, who's versatile. The Yankees would have added three bats, two arms, still probably do some ancillary stuff, but been one Bregman away from having a great offseason.
Well, I want to get into this more coming up here because I fundamentally disagree on the building of teams and the urgency in which we need to declare that a team's been built. And we're all guilty of it, but I want to get back to that coming up on the Fan. We'll get that.
BT and Sal on the Fan, our friends at Town Fair Tire. Remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. BT and Sal back on the Fan. So you had a big what? Big blowout New Year's Eve? Big bash of your
A good
house?
One. Yeah. I mean,
man, we didn't get the invite to that. Not that we would have been able to go. We were in bed by 10 o'clock.
You didn't see the ball drop?
No. Come on, dude. I'm way past that. Yeah.
I understand that it's amateur hour, and I'm not leaving the crib on New Year's Eve. I'm not going anywhere, I still like to get loose on New Year's Eve. You kidding me? I was out of my mind, dude. We were still partying at 3 in the morning. We get loose in the burbs, yo.
The extent of my partying over the course of the holiday week was our night out at Rails.
And would you have only two glasses of wine, right? A little wine?
Two and a half, maybe, yeah, okay. But it was delicious.
That
with
was
the food.
Great, God.
But that was Monday before
that was
New
Monday
Year's
night,
Eve.
Yep.
So to me, that was my night out away from the wife. We had the boys out, Frank and everybody
yeah,
there.
Yeah, we'll get to that later. Something funny happened.
Yeah, so whatever. It was fun to hang out there. But we didn't do the New Year's Eve party.
Really?
I feel like I haven't done that in forever.
Well, I mean, again, we do it with, you know, not many, just two or three families. When, you know, our children are good friends, like everybody gets along and it's like, yeah, the guys are sitting by the fire pit doing whatever we want. And the wives are sitting upstairs drinking Prosecco, talking about who the hell cares, quite frankly.
How many people you say you
have? Let's see. There was, in my house, there were basically about the same that were there for 6 days as the entire Dallas contingent.
Family,
I'm like, get me back to work. Get me back to school if that's the case. Now,
there's enough booze in the cabinet to get to that.
Sure. New Year's Eve, we had. And I don't know, at one point, maybe at one point, 15 or 16, including kids in the house. Not bad.
So then how were you feeling yesterday? So
awful. I slept in. Yeah. I felt horrendous.
All right, so then
how did I feel?
Yeah, well,
I felt like I was dead.
Well,
how
then that's
feel?
Why we took issue with New Year's. Usually New Year's Day is like, I did take down some of the decorations yesterday.
What?
Yeah, I barely put them up. I took them all
down.
No. What do you mean?
They're down already?
Yeah, and can I just vent for a second on this? I tried to warn my wife about this. Now, you know, we moved into a new house, new paint, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What does she want to do for the Christmas decorations? Put the garland up around the kitchen window.
Okay.
Which is fine, right? Well, how do you do
that? Did you
that?
Tape it or something and it just messed with the paint?
The command hooks.
Oh, yeah, that's
right.
And I'm
like, I'm not putting those hooks on the new paint.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it. She's like, no, there's this
guy.
Hack. There's this hack on, and I'm like, because I know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
No, there's this hack on TikTok, whatever. If you pull it down this way and it doesn't work, then you use floss.
Oh,
all right.
God.
Yesterday, whatever, we're having some issue. But then I'm like, I'm taking down the decorations, and I take the garland off, and then I go to pull the command hook off. What do you think happens?
Yeah, well, paint comes off with it.
Ripped right off the wall. It's horrible now.
Yeah.
Those damn command hooks, they lie. They don't work the right way. You got to put them up and leave them up. Anyway, so we were doing that a little bit yesterday.
Yeah.
You got invited
you
to
take
the
it down that early?
Oh, what do you leave it up for?
Yeah, dude, you're Italian. Little Christmas.
What's Little Christmas? That's after Christmas?
I don't know exactly, but I heard my mom always talking about it. She's Italian. I'm half.
How long do you keep it up for?
Well, I mean, sometimes, quite frankly, just we get so busy.
Well, that's why.
It kind of languishes for a while. But.
Well, here's why, BT. If you don't do it, if I didn't do it yesterday.
Yeah.
This weekend, maybe.
Well, what do you mean you? I don't do it. My wife does that.
Yeah, well, no, I do it.
You
I
do mean, that,
yeah.
too? Yeah. I know it's January 6th. I don't know what it means. It's some sort of religion.
Yeah,
he just said. I thought it was January 6th, but I don't know what it means. Like, what is the religious, historical?
Yeah, I have no idea.
There's something. It means something.
Tree's still up.
It's not just
up.
Like you get little presents on January 6th.
Yeah. The tree's still up for now, but like if I didn't do all the other stuff then, now you run into, okay, well, this weekend, and then if not this weekend, I can't do it during the week because I'm working, and then you're talking about wild card weekend and divisional round.
Well, that's why she does it, while you're working. Not happening?
Look, she's got to take the decorations off the tree. Then I can take the lights down. The other stuff, she's not getting up on a ladder, taking the wreath down.
No, understood. Understood.
I didn't even ask.
But would she change the tire?
Yeah, exactly.
You seem like your handyman Sal.
In this particular, I went the little stuff that we had outside, the lights inside, I just took it all down.
You took that
down.
Really?
I wanted to get rid of it.
Yeah. See, I'll tell you, it is depressing. Like, I don't mind having the stuff up a little bit longer than it should be, and it will be, because we put it up early and it usually languishes for a little bit. That's fine. I think it's an awful look. Like, one thing, if it's on the inside of the house, I think it's awful. Like, when you see, and there's still some homes like this, like January 19th, and
February,
there's still some Christmas lights on outside visibly or along the perimeter of somebody's home.
The reindeer's
come
still
on,
there.
I get it, man.
It's a pain in the neck. A lot of work for a month to put that stuff up. What would you do before we get back to the calls here? What would you do with the paint spot?
I mean, just to get,
I could probably
go on
touch
Amazon.
It up myself.
Just one spot or multiple?
Well, it's the one.
How many
that,
hooks?
It's the one that I pulled off. There are four hooks. I stopped pulling them off because the one.
Yeah.
I pulled one down and the bottom ripped off. Then I went to the next one and pulled it down and tried to pull it out a little bit, and that's where it just ripped
off.
Well,
correct me for not knowing. So when you guys moved in, did you actually have the painter come then, or
did,
was it
they
already
did a whole
painted?
New, no,
oh,
no,
so
we
they
did a whole
okay.
new paint thing. Yeah. So now either I got to have somebody come touch it up or I just do it myself.
You touch it up, dude. Go to Amazon, know, whatever color it is. You find, I got to do that with my rim. I messed up my rim a little bit.
What rim? What do you mean?
On my car.
Yeah, it's annoying.
It is. But you can. You don't have to bring somebody to do that. It's simple.
Why, Dove, you can help with this?
Did you save any cans of paint that weren't finished?
Yes, yeah.
So you had the same color in the house.
Yeah, I know. So I got to go down to the basement and figure it out. But this
going down to the basement is too much of a hassle for you.
I got to go down to the basement, mess with the paint, stir it to get it fresh.
Have to stir it.
Well, you do because you can't just, it's like watery and
oily.
So I got to mix it, then I got to come up the stairs, then I got to make sure I don't drop
it. I got to come up the stairs.
With the paint in hand, got to make sure I don't drop any of it on the new countertop.
Put a little thing down on the floor just in case you do.
Right, all the things that.
Put your little smock on.
Just because you wanted to hang the damn garland.
Yep.
In a spot without a...
At least you wanted to hang something. You didn't want to hang the tree, must we remind you.
Well, correct. And now, maybe, you know what? I just thought of this.
Yeah.
Maybe I could call Mitch and see if he could come over and...
I spoke to Mitch about something. I'll tell you off the air. I spoke to Mitch during the holiday.
But now the other dilemma is not only the touch-up, which I could take care of. I've done that before. What do you do with the other hooks? Do I leave them up? Do I pull them down?
Yeah, put the... hang something. Put the Easter basket on them in a couple of months. Keep them up.
Give some Valentine's Day.
Huh? Paint the hooks the same color.
No, you can't do that.
God,
it's a mess.
Paint the hooks.
All right, BT and Sal on the field. Let's get back to the calls here.
What does your house look like? Paint the hooks.
We've been talking Pete Alonso. We've been talking a lot of stuff, but most recently, Pete Andrew is in Bay Ridge, has an opinion on Alonso. What's up, Andrew?
Hey, what's up, guys? So good to have you back. I feel like I've been listening. I like Mark, but I feel like I've been listening to Moose for like a week straight, and I'm really glad you guys are back.
Thanks, buddy.
So listen, Pete, right? Like, you know, it's like when you're bidding for a house, like I understand Pete's not like the mansion, but like to lose him for like a year extra, like it's not our money. It's not my money. I think a goodwill would go a long way with getting the best out of Pete, because as I think Sal mentioned before, like, I don't think he's proven himself necessarily to be like the best under extreme pressure. So if he's got like some goodwill, some good vibes from the Mets, he's got Soto now, like, taking all the pressure off as far as, like, he doesn't have to be the guy. And, you know, like, I that goofiness and that weirdness that we as adults sort of, like, knock him for. Like, my kid is going to be devastated. I know we don't make decisions based on kids, you know, perceptions. But, like, he gives a lot of goodwill and good stuff for the Mets that, like, you know, maybe doesn't resonate as much with me. Like, I'm like, I just want to see it on the field.
Right.
But, like, younger fans are going to really like miss him too, you know? So I think what's another year? Give him the money. We're made of money at this point. And I think we would get the best out of him.
Right. But then where is the, and I agree with that, Andrew, and thank you for the call. Where is the line drawn? As I said, I would go to another year, and it's not just about the money. It's also about the value and what you could do moving forward and where the Mets value Pete. Here's what I really think is happening. Boris and Pete are trying to play the Mets and get them up because there are no other good options for Pete either. And the Mets know it. They've got Boris and Pete basically by the short hairs.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just saying it's a dangerous game because somebody at some point might be like, all right, if this is the value, 4 years, 120 or 4 years, 100, I'll bite and pay for that power because there is value in power. And if you get that one team, then the Mets are going to be screwed and all the leverage that they think they have goes away. But I think right now, Boris and Pete are trying to just get the Mets to come up more. So the question is, how far do you go?
Well, I'm not going much further than the 390.
Would you go to 120?
I would go to a fourth year.
No, 140? 150?
I mean, I'm more about the years than I am the money. I just don't want him necessarily when he's 35, 36. That doesn't interest me. The money, whatever. They've got it. So that's not a big deal.
In comparison to Walker? To Pete's point, Walker got 3 years, $20 million. Hoff brought this up before.
Yeah.
3 years, $20 million a year.
But he's
which
older.
Takes him through 36.
Yeah.
So if I'm Pete and Boris, I say, well, if he got paid through his age 36, I should be getting paid through my age 36.
And you know what my response will be if they say that to Cohen and or Stearns? Well, I understood, and in most cases that will make sense. The problem is your client's going backwards and Christian Walker's getting better.
The other thing is the Mets
and that's statistically provable. That's one thing Pete can't say.
Well,
like he can't, like you can say but it's got no merit. Like Christian Walker's ascending, Pete's going backwards in too many important spots.
So if Walker at his age to get to age 36 is worth 3 for 20, What do you think Pete is worth average per year right now? AAV?
25 to 30.
Okay. So the Mets offer $10 million a year more than Walker got per year for 3 years. $30 million more.
Yeah.
Than Walker. That's well,
that's
pretty,
the Hall of Fame tax. That's but that's the Mets legacy but that's tax. That's
so,
a good thing.
So that's a pretty
significant
offer.
Yeah, they did the right
offer.
Thing to an extent. Yeah.
Right. So that's a, in comparison, it's a pretty significant offer. And let's just say, okay, well, Alonso wants 6 years because that's what Walker got. And we say, okay, well, fine.
But he didn't get 6 years, Walker.
I'm sorry, through age 36.
Got it.
Paying through age 36. So to Pete, the equivalent would be 6 years. And you say he's averaged, he's valued at roughly $25 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's 150.
It's 150.
Over the course of six.
Less than what they offered him a couple of years ago.
Okay, so we're still at the same ballpark to where if the Mets say, okay, well, we're not going to give you $30 million a year for 6 years, but it will either give you $30 million a year for three or $25 million a year for five.
Mm-hmm.
Something like
that. Well, there's going to be an opt-out in there, I would imagine,
okay,
after
fine,
one or two, which would be more appealing to Pete there.
But then you... But
they're going to find a... He's going to be a Met.
My point is...
I think.
The window you're working with is now between $90 million... and roughly 150, and likely somewhere in between, whether it's 125, 130, maybe even 140.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably...
90 is the floor?
Yes, yeah, well,
it's got to be right now.
It's got to be right now.
Yeah.
Right? 3 years, 90 is the floor.
Unless the Mets wanted to play real hardball, and there's and this is a dangerous game too, but like if there's no concrete offers that really... Like they could play the game all they want, Boris and Pete. If there's not a concrete offer of at least 90, the Mets don't have to stay there.
Right.
There's no rule that says, well, we can't rescind that, and how about 2 years?
And maybe Pete himself says, I don't want 3 years, I'll just do another one-year deal, although the way that he performed in this 1 year would make me think that he wouldn't want that. Mark is in Clark, New Jersey, talking about the Giants. What's up, Mark?
Guys, good afternoon. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Good to hear you back. So... I'm feeling that the team to keep an eye out for in this playoff is going to be the Vikings. And I want to know what your thoughts are on this. I feel like the Vikings are going to have a hard time moving off Darnold if he gets them where they want to be this year, which is either the NFC Championship game and or the Super Bowl. Now, that being said, is there any chance that the Giants can move with their draft pick position now, which is obviously not number one, and trade out of that pick to bring in a J.J. McCarthy if the Vikings want to stay with Darnold, or if they feel that McCarthy is the future there, is there a chance that Darnold could be a good fit with the Giants? And then, Sal, I got one more thing for you when you have the answer.
Go ahead. Hit us with the other one, then we could get...
Real quick. If you're I heard you talking before, and anytime I hear about bicycles, it sparks my interest. Yeah. If you're serious about doing that bike tour, DT's got my information.
Oh, yeah. This is my guy.
Oh, he hooks it up with the bike.
The bicycles and the equipment you need. Thank you.
This is Mark the bike
guy.
Absolute hookup. He is the best. We've stayed in contact. He's a great guy. Big hockey fan. Big sports fan. Good dude. He'd hook you up. All right. So the thing about McCarthy, like, I like him. I could see why that would be a possible relationship or match with the Giants.
Yeah, but they should have just drafted him last year. Well, if that were the case.
I understood, but they didn't, and now you've got to at least, you got to have a plan B here. I get it. I'm not saying you're wrong, but you got to adjust. He's had two knee surgeries, right? That's not the first one. I think that's the second.
I would not go there.
That worries me. Now, I also like McCarthy more than you, but like...
Also, it depends what regime is here. Why would Shane and Dable go get him now after another major injury if they didn't draft him in the first place when he was healthy at a college? Clearly, they didn't like him for whatever reason. Now you're going to go get him?
True.
He's only gotten worse since then because he hasn't proven anything and he got hurt.
Yeah.
Now, the Darnold one to me would be maybe more fascinating. I guess Boomer
brought
this up.
Darnold's not coming here.
Why in the world, twofold here, why in the world would Minnesota ever let Sam Darnold go?
Well, I mean, if his demands get outrageous, they do have somebody who, in theory, could be comparable to Sam. That's the short answer.
And you're talking about McCarthy.
Yeah, I mean, that's the short answer.
I know,
he's looking for $45 million a year. I mean...
But still, do you want a good quarterback or not?
Like, you do, but... I'm just saying it's maybe a little bit of a tougher dance than you make it out to be.
I
think that they'll get common ground, but I need to see that Sam's somewhat reasonable.
I don't know what's going to happen, but imagine that scenario happening here in this town.
It did. It did with Daniel Jones on a lower scale.
Well, I never believed in Jones, though. Did you?
Like his rookie year, I liked him when he came in that Tampa game.
I mean, when they got that
never
contract.
Never full throttle.
I'm assuming that Sam, at least me, from where I sit watching this, that it's different Where Sam Darnold, and by the way, he's doing things that Daniel Jones just never did. So, yeah, I understand what you're saying. I'm talking about taking over the way Sam Darnold has in Minnesota. All right, coming out of nowhere, but he was a top pick. It has taken years. He's been in multiple systems, multiple teams, and now is flourishing with Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota.
Yeah.
You're having the ultimate success, and we'll see how the season plays out here. Maybe they don't have to make that decision. You know, maybe he wins the Super Bowl. Who knows? But point is, you're going to let that go? For the chance of a rookie maybe being better?
I think it's easier if they do win the Super Bowl to justify letting him go. Because then you deliver the Vikings their first championship, and you get to, you know, trot out the kid that you believed in before he got hurt, who probably would have won the job from Sam.
I can't imagine any fan or team being okay letting a guy... You know how hard it is to find a franchise quarterback? They may have gotten lucky and found one, got him in there, developed him in their system, and he looks great, and now you're going to get away. Unless they don't believe that what he's doing is legit, that's a different story. But I feel like he's more than proven himself at this point.
I do, too. You know, listen, if they, again, it's a lot of hypotheticals here. Yeah, like, if they were to win the Super Bowl, I don't know. Does he throw for 209 yards at a touchdown? Or is it, you know, the Sam that's been slinging it 3, 4, 5 touchdowns? I think it depends on the optics of how he plays in the game.
And the other part of that, so from Minnesota, why would you ever let him go? In my mind, the other part of that is New York. Like, if I'm Darnold, I'm never coming back to New York. I don't even want to visit here.
Mm-hmm.
B, if I'm a New York team, there's no way. There's no way I'm taking Sam Darnold back here.
Well, I would disagree from the Giants' perspective. There is no chance he wants to be a Jet, and there's no chance the Jets would even try. So forget about the Jets. And I don't think he'd come back to New York for the Giants either. But that's different from saying that the Giants shouldn't pursue him. Why not?
Because of what happened in New
York.
He
can play for the Giants.
It doesn't matter. It's New York.
I mean, listen.
You saw how it went here in that building? Ooh.
Because it's a franchise that can't get out of its own way. At least the one that he would theoretically join's got 4 Lombardis.
Yeah. Why can't the guru, Brian Daboll, go do what O'Connell did in Minnesota and go find another quarterback and make him your own?
He might.
He might. Put it this way, I'd rather see
Sam's
that.
Sam's not going to the Giants. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, if it got out and, like, Rapoport or Russini was like, hey, Sam's intrigued by the prospects of the Giants, and I'm the Giants, I would absolutely at least take the next step, see where we're at. No doubt, he could play.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. BT and Sal back on the Fan, 888-808-1019 is the number to call. Good to be back from vacation. Now that the holidays have come and gone, we look ahead. We get the final regular season weekend of the NFL. Thankfully, no more Jets and Giants after Sunday, unfortunately. But thankfully, the way the season has gone, then we can turn our attention to the teams that matter with the wild card round, division round. For me, BT, those are the two best weekends in all of sports. Couple of things. You mentioned before about building a team. When we're talking about Bregman, I was saying the Yankees need to get Bregman to complete the offseason and have a home run. Mm. But you wanted to further that point about building a team. Does it need to be now? So you'd be okay with the Yankees not getting Bregman and just waiting for in-season?
That's not what I really want, but I wouldn't go nuts. Listen, I think that we've become so fixated on, and I understand why we have to do it, because we get paid to give an opinion in the moment, but I think that there's like so much finality attached to so many opinions that I think it kind of almost forces us to overlook some nuance, right? And I think, and what I mean by that is very simple. All right, so the Yankees lose Juan Soto. The Yankees have not gotten anybody remotely close to, you know, replicate his offensive performance, because there's nobody really out there that you can get. So you've got to go strengthen numbers and maybe try to add to other strengths to make a better team. And for me, and I've said this, like, I love what the Yankees have done. They strengthened the starting staff. They strengthened the back of the rotation, back of the bullpen. They become better defensively, which is what plagued them in inning five, game five of the World Series, obviously, and really all year. They're slow. That changed a little bit. I just think, for me, maybe this is a resolution that I'm stumbling upon from a baseball perspective, especially with the Yankees. One thing the Yanks have earned is a little benefit of the doubt, where the team that you see now, I promise you, it's not going to be the team that goes into the divisional series game one if they get there, which I believe that they will. It's not how they roll. It's not how they're built. It's not who they are. So whether it's Jazz at third and some no-name at second, or Jazz at second and some combination of DJ and Cabrera, whatever, I just think that the Yankees have done enough now, but before they got Bellinger, I didn't feel this way, and Goldschmidt on a 1 year, which I'm okay with, even though I wanted Walker.
Yeah.
I think they've done enough now where I'm like, all right, now I'm going to stop yelling like a lunatic. Now I got to see what's next, but I do believe something else is coming. And when it does, I'll probably like what it is. Yeah, they know they got to do a little more.
I couldn't disagree more. Now, you're right, like teams get, and by the way, even if they, let's just say they get Bregman, the team that they field on opening day is not going to be the same team that is in game one of the postseason. Like, generally, those things don't happen. It's very rare that you stay healthy or you have the same parts. However, to complete, to me, just the offseason, forget about what's going to happen in the regular season or the results and trade deadline and, you know, this and that, to complete a near-perfect offseason after losing the best player on the market in Juan Soto, they need Bregman. He's just the perfect fit to their puzzle. Do I love Bregman long-term? No, but I don't love Goldschmidt at first base either. But the combination of the two, like, I would hate Arenado for either the Mets or the Yankees. The Mets, they certainly don't need him. Fits the Yankees a little bit more, but he's not the bat that Bregman is. And Bregman is a proven guy in the postseason.
He's not going to be that bad at Yankee Stadium. Yeah, not as a righty. That is for damn sure. He doesn't go to right field at all.
He's still a gamer. He's been good in the postseason.
Well, then why don't you want him?
And because I think the Mets need an impact bat, whereas the Yankees...
The Yankees need a bat.
They screwed up then letting Juan Soto go.
But that's a discussion. Like, they try, they didn't get him. It is what it is.
Correct. So now how are they building their team? Pitching and defense. Bregman is a great defensive player. You brought in Max Fried. You better get somebody at third base who could catch the ball.
Which I've talked about.
Right, so
I can't give him 7 years, Sal. I can't give him seven.
Understood, but forget about that for a second. Bregman, the player that he is, good defensive guy, proven in the postseason. I don't think the market is going to be too big for him. He brings a good glove, good personality, clutch ability, and the ability to lengthen out the lineup. He does multiple things that I think help the Yankees. And to me, what has been plan B or C, whatever you want to label it, that would be the completing of the off-season puzzle. Obviously, plenty of work to do in season, but I don't think you could do much better after you lose Soto than get arguably the best pitcher available, arguably the best reliever available. You get Bellinger, who's a versatile, good bat, can play center or first base. You get Paul Goldschmidt, a proven vet, a good glove. Maybe still got
those second half numbers were actually much better.
Okay.
So maybe
again,
there's a sign he's not done. Like, bat speed, velo, things pointing favorably to a decent season.
Both wanted Walker more.
Definitely.
Which is why I say that, okay, I'll live with Goldschmidt if it is in accordance with Bregman at third base.
Okay, so this further illuminates where I'm going. Like, again, I know this is what we do, but to declare, like, I'm not even saying that you're doing this, but like to declare a definitive grade to the Yankees offseason, not that I won't do it, not that I'm afraid to do it, I can't do it because I don't know what Volpe's going to be this year. I don't know what Dominguez is going to be this year. I don't know, though I think Wells will be really good. I've said it a million times. I don't know exactly what he's going to be. Hell, I don't know if Gerrit Cole is still a stud. I think he is. I think Weaver's going to be great in the eighth inning. Setting up Devin Williams is going to be filthy. But I don't know, is he a one-year wonder? I mean, Luke Weaver didn't just burst on the scene. Luke Weaver's been around for a while. Like, right. And he didn't really do much to distinguish himself outside of last year. And now that happens with relief pitchers, so maybe this is, you know, last year was the first of a couple-of-the-year renaissance for Weaver. He's going to be good, but I don't know for sure. I don't know if Goldschmidt's done or he's not. There's just too many projections that I really don't know. But I do think the Yankees' pivot has been very smart. And I'll tell you what it does. It shows you that while deep down they're probably disappointed they didn't get Soto, they were never, I don't even, all-in's corny, but they were juggling multiple sound plans in their pursuit of Soto, knowing if they dropped that one or he just didn't want to go back there, whatever, that they had something else that I think in the opinion of everybody, including me, they'll be a playoff team barring catastrophe.
Well, I mean, the American
League. And barring absolute catastrophe.
They're basically a playoff team every year and the American League stinks. All I'm saying is doesn't mean I'm not going to give you a win total prediction, all that stuff. All I'm saying is I don't think they've done enough yet this offseason to make up for losing Soto. If they get Bregman, I go into the clubhouse, I go into spring training saying, I feel great about what the Yankees did in the offseason, considering that they lost Soto, the way that they went about rebuilding everything else would be good. I feel like they're missing one more piece, and to me, that piece that's out there is Bregman. Now, unless they make a trade, I'm not talking about Arenado, I'm talking about
what you mean.
Unforeseen trade, but Walker would have been different had they got Walker. Maybe I would have said, okay, I'm
fine.
Then
you go Arenado at third base. Then you can justify that more because you're going to hit more than Goldie, you think. Yeah.
But I agree with Goldschmidt that part. Was not the big move. They're one move away.
Where would you hit Bregman? You see him as a two-hitter?
That's a great question. You have to really think about the Yankee lineup. They have some interesting pieces
I understand
here.
That. I think that's why it's hard for me to pin down who they are, although I think they're good.
Right, but without Bregman, I just know that they don't have enough, in my mind.
But I doesn't mean they can't get somebody enough to win a World Series. I agree with that.
Well, enough going into the season.
I disagree. Because, listen, if they don't, let's say if they don't get Bregman, and let's say they open the season with Goldschmidt and, say, Jazz at second and Volpe and Wellsby on the plate and Cabrera and DJ at third, which none of us would like, and Bellinger in center and Judge in right and Dominguez in left and a sick staff and a sick bullpen, we're all getting on the air saying they're at least a wild card team, right? I mean, everybody's going to say they're a playoff team.
Maybe. I don't like that team, though, going into the season.
But I agree. But it's definitely enough to be a playoff team, at least on paper, right? Barring an unforeseen catastrophe.
I mean,
my point is, I think there's another move, but I don't need it to be now. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't need to just scratch my itch and say, and I'm okay with Bregman, and he's a winner in a game, right? Just 7 years, and I know he's not going to hit as a righty with thump at the stadium.
See who shakes available at the deadline.
Yes. Yeah.
All right, but you would agree that they need more.
They need more to win a World Series?
Well,
absolutely they need more.
So whether it happens.
They're winning a World Series with this team. Yeah. I honestly, even with Bregman, I'm not sure if they do.
Well,
the Dodgers?
Me neither, but at least I would say, okay, you're loaded going into the season, and then you got a plan for stuff that happens in season, and then maybe you go out, hey, Goldschmidt is no good. We need to get a bat at first base, or
well, at
Jazz
that point, maybe you put Belly in. Let's say Goldschmidt flops, put Belly at first, and if Dominguez is doing well, put Dominguez in center, get a left fielder. There's always ways to do it, and that's it's one thing Cashman's pretty good at, like, you know, the Yankees in position to win in April, and then, you know, finding a bullpen when it's all said and done and give his team a chance.
You could say the same thing about the Mets. All right, well, they got Soto the big fish. If they don't get Pete back, fine. Go find another bat in season. I would not feel good about their offseason. Manaea back? Check. Soto, obviously, check. They need to bring Alonso back. Then I think their offseason, at least I'd be like, okay, I'm good, and then figure out the rest later.